Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So for those of you that are tuning in new or that you've been tuning in, I hope you feel my passion. I really hope you feel my passion about the show, the content we create and share, and how it's going to help you navigate whether you're looking to grow your business, increase your client connectivity, or overall for me, it's really all about helping you create the life you desire. So between my guests and I, the tools we share, I hope you find that navigating change isn't so difficult. Now, so always thank you for joining us. My motivational quote today is by Jeff Bezos, and he says, "When I'm old and dying, I plan to look back on my life and say, wow, that was an adventure, not wow, I sure felt safe." So clearly, Mr. Bezos, or I hope I'm saying his name correctly, took a leap of faith, and I'm quite sure he feels safe now. But what about us? People with careers, or maybe we're just getting started and decide that we want to pursue a passion or what we feel might be a great idea. So for some, there is these aha moments. For others, it may just be that we can't get that corporate shuffle. We can't take the corporate shuffle any longer. And for another group, it may be focusing on what was a side hustle and trying to make that maybe a full-time gig. So today my guest is Heidi Anderson, and Heidi's going to share her experience of leaving the corporate world for other opportunities. Now, she's had only one corporate job at a savings and loan, close to my heart, right, another banker in Dallas in the 80s. And she then worked and shifted over working for entrepreneurs for about 10 years before she became one herself. Now, she started an electronic commerce company with her husband right after they got married 20 years ago. Now, Heidi's passion is for helping people, led her to creating Credit Cares, which is a foundation to foster empowerment, and now ECI, and now BCI, Business Financial Strategies, is what she's currently doing. So please help me welcome Heidi to the show. So Heidi, thanks for being on and taking the time out of your day. I always appreciate my guests and their time.
Well, thank you, Connie. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. So we, again, being a business owner, and you did, like me, right? We came up through the corporate world. And it's funny because I came up through banking, right? You came up through the savings and loans. So we kind of have these parallel similarities that we have this very deep financial background, right, in our creds, right, so to speak. But I want to start with just something personal about you. So you played basketball for U of A and LSU, right, also.
Yes.
Now, what did you learn from being that college athlete, you know, as an adult and bringing it into the business world?
I think, and it sounds really kind of cliche, but teamwork, you know, and really being able to work with other personalities, work to people's strengths. I learned a lot from the different coaches I had. In the 4 years in college basketball, I had three different coaches. I had one at the University of Arizona. Then I, through a crazy story, I transferred to LSU. Because the first coach, it really wasn't working out. And it turns out right after I left, and not because I left, but right after I left, she got fired and got replaced. Then I went to LSU, and it was kind of the same thing. The first coach that I had there for the first couple of years, it's like I'm very tall, and they kept trying to make me into something I wasn't, like this big, tough, underneath the basket kind of a person. And it wasn't me. And it finally, my senior year, we got a new coach at LSU, and she was fabulous, and she looked at our strengths and built plays around our strengths instead of taking plays and trying to stuff us into a position.
True.
And I had the best year ever. I was able to really, you know, to contribute the lead, and it was a wonderful experience. But I definitely learned a lot from that, as far as just going, you know, it's kind of like not everybody is good at everything, right? So it's like, okay, well, you know, what are your strengths? What are you, your core competencies, right? And then, you know, where can we expand from that?
Which is the best way to start, right?
Right.
Isn't that where coaches should start from? It's so funny. As you were speaking, you learned so much from the bad coaches, right? And then that one year where you thought,
to do things.
Yeah. And then you're like, isn't this the obvious? But it's funny. I even think in our corporate world and us as coaches, right, that we work and we help others, small business owners, or in my case, my corporate and small business owners. But you try to take, here's the position, let me take that square peg and jam it into the round hole. It just doesn't work. So I know through my career, same thing. You've learned from the bad coaches as well as from your good coaches. So what not to do, and then, of course, what to duplicate and do. So what a concept, build on people's strengths and then create the plays, the playbook around the team of people that you have instead of, again, shoving that square peg into the round hole. It's so logical. Yet, what's the old saying? Or what's the saying? Common sense isn't so common.
Yep. Right.
Right. And we've experienced that. So now let's shift over to your corporate experience, right? How has your corporate experience shaped you, especially now as a business owner?
Well, and that was another place where I kind of learned how not to do things. I went to work in this was in the mid 80s in Dallas when we were going through something similar to what we went through like in 2008. There was foreclosures, banks were failing. I went to work for a savings and loan in Texas, and I worked in their REO department, so real estate owned. So my first banking experience was clearing clouds on titles so they could sell foreclosed property. And so, I learned a lot about that from that experience, and that kind of, interestingly enough, kind of came into play in when we went through all that in 2008, 2009. But I just noticed that it just seemed like a lot of wasted time, meetings that weren't necessary. I had a supervisor. I swear all she did was walk around all day and talk to people. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I just looked at the inefficiency of it and it drove me crazy. So I worked there for 1 year, and then a friend of mine was leaving, working for an entrepreneur who was in the real estate world in Dallas, and she was she knew I was miserable, and she said, "You know what? I'm getting ready to go work for this photographer," whatever she was going to do. She said, "Why don't you come work for Sam? You guys would work great together." So that's what I did, and he's the first entrepreneur I worked for, and I never looked back. I never worked in corporate America again.
No, I don't know why that is, because my clients, right, are predominantly now corporate clients. I'm shifting to position myself to help small business owners because they can't afford to bring me in, right? But if I can create a digital product, they could afford to bring me in and learn all of this knowledge I have in my head to help them scale their business. But in the corporate world, there are so many wonderful people that I feel I have the privilege of working with. And yet, as you look around, you see the inefficiencies in other departments, perhaps that I'm not affiliated with. And I think, wow, how do they feel productive during the day? Exactly what you're saying. I see them walking around talking and never doing anything. It was funny, 1 week, my husband, who also works in corporate worlds, and he came home, he said to me, it was a Friday, and he just looked worn out. And I said, "How you doing?" And he said, "Do you know, I looked back, I was in meetings for 36 hours this week." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, in the meetings, you have work that you say, okay, you're going to do this. When does the work get done?" And he said, "That's a very good question. I'm not really sure." And I thought, wow, how many of those meetings could have been eliminated? So it's funny, as business owners, I don't have time to waste because my time is money, right? Yeah. So we become this super efficient machine almost, where every time you work, you're working from a productivity standpoint, not of, I think I'm going to take a break now. I have to schedule going to the bathroom because I get so focused on my work that I forget, to take those breaks because I can do my deep dive. What did you learn, though, from that corporate environment? And maybe this is the better question. Was there a pivotal moment in your corporate life where, yes, your friend introduced you, but there had to be a pivotal moment where you thought, I don't want this anymore. And as you investigated, made the shift. Like, was there a moment for you? I know what my moment was. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, there was. My supervisor, I'll never forget, Twyla Bell. Anyway, it was in Dallas. I was dating a man, and he had a child, and he traveled a lot. So this is the thing where his son, who was like 10, when he got home, and if his dad was traveling, he would call me to let me know that he got home okay, and we would touch base like that. There was never anything said about it. It was no long phone call. It was just a quick, and that was really the only personal phone call I ever really got at work. And then I had the opportunity to go to Hawaii with the same person. And so she, oh, yeah, go on vacation, And so I went on vacation and I came back. And so then I was up for my review. And this was it. And she said that she wasn't going to, it was like she wasn't going to give me a raise because I took too many personal phone calls and it was something about my going on that vacation. I went, well, I asked permission and you told me to go and you've never once said a word to me about my 5-second phone call with my boyfriend's son. And I just kind of went, I can't do this. I need to be autonomous. I need to be free. I need to, it was right then. I just made the decision. I went, okay, I've got to work a year, otherwise they would come after me for my 1 week of vacation pay that I took. And, so I worked there like 1 year and in that meantime, I had talked to my friend and got the opportunity and I gave, 2 weeks notice. And of course in a bank, they go, if you're giving us 2 weeks notice, you might as well leave today. And it's kind of like, okay, bye.
Absolutely. Couldn't run fast enough. It's funny how you can critique someone, discipline them in essence by not giving you that raise, but never have mentioned what you're being disciplined for. Again, just poor leadership. Wow. That's offensive right. on so many levels. But the other problem is how many leaders out there do that. You got to communicate with your team. I believe that when you tell people what the expectation is, and I use this with my kids as well, people rise to the occasion, but you have to communicate right. what those expectations are. Was there a thread, would you say a common thread with the different entrepreneurs you worked with that you kind of lived with or worked with? So the commonality maybe.
Well, definitely there was a lot of, real estate and just like when I worked for the first guy I worked for, so he owned shopping centers. And so I learned a lot about like leases and communicating with tenants and that type of thing. And then he ended up, that once again, this is when everything was kind of also still crumbling in Texas, the savings and loans and the real estate. And he ended up having to sell his shopping centers and he went out of business while I was working for him. So I got to experience that. And he was a great guy. We had a really good working relationship. And so it was like, okay, well now what? And so at that point, I'm like, I'm not going to go back to work in corporate world. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I went to work for a temp agency and I started just doing, and that was a really great experience too. And I got jobs like in real estate offices and I got to know people, transcribing, notes and stuff like that from the realtors that were driving, the commercial real estate guys that were driving around. So I did that for a while and that every thing I did, I learned a new skill,
yeah.
I had somebody who was worked out at the same gym I worked out. And she said that a man she in her building that she knew was looking for an admin person. And she knew I was looking for a job. And so she introduced me to him. And I worked for Monty for like 5 years. And in that period of time, he did real estate deals. He did oil and gas deals. I learned how to form corporations. I learned how to do, that's where I learned QuickBooks and Excel and all of that stuff. And then the last thing he did was create a company to make non-toxic shot for shotgun shells. So the Bismuth Cartridge Company. So I was traveling around to shooting events and promoting non-toxic shot for shotgun shells. But it was never the same thing every single day, which I loved. And I love the variety. I love the, you know, just the ingenuity and the opportunity to come up with ideas. Okay, well, this is brand new. How do we do this? Where should we go? What trade show should we do? Yeah. You know, and that was a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think to be a business owner or entrepreneur, the same thing every day just doesn't work. So you have to be open and thrive in that changing environment, right? For me, doing something every day, the same thing every day, that's not my personality. That's not my energy. That would be soul sucking to me, where other people love routine. And, you know, I get it. So you have to find where you belong. But the other funny thing you said that I totally agree with is no matter what job, no matter what step, even if it wasn't your dream job, number one, who were the people you met? You're building your network. Second thing, what skill did I learn? Oh my goodness, I had another tool in my tool belt. So right. We constantly learn and evolve. And, you know, my son just graduated college and, you know, COVID has really killed him looking for a job, like, because there's nothing out there, but that's okay. Doing DoorDash, he's hustling, he's doing other things and doing LinkedIn learning and all of those things to continue to build his skill. But I keep saying to him, dude, what you do, your first job 20 years from now, it's not even going to resemble what your first job is, because as you get skill, as you get exposure, as you meet new people, new opportunities are going to find you and you're going to find where you belong. And that's exactly what you did on that whole experience working for entrepreneurs. Additionally, it taught you how to be an entrepreneur before you opened your own door.
Which in a way, because I think if more people would think about it, even if you're working for a corporation, and I didn't think about it that way because I hadn't been through all of this at the time.
Sure.
Was to think of your job as your own little business.
Absolutely.
Like, so even within a corporate world, you could be like this, okay, this little department, this is my little business, you know, and manage it that way.
Absolutely.
And I think it would change. It helps with more of the buy-in of an ownership for and responsibility for what you're doing.
Agree.
Right.
Yeah.
And
totally. Yeah. It's funny. Well, as a salesperson, right, I've always been on commission my whole career. So to me, it was my own little business, because if I didn't work, I didn't get a paycheck, right? So, you know, I was always hustling. And, you know, I remember before taking vacation, because now you've lost that whole week. Well, that whole week wasn't just your appointments. It was all the new calls you were making to build your next, you know, calls pipeline for the next, you know, week, month, whatever it was. So I would work like triple the amount before he went on vacation, so that when I came back, I had business that would be closing, but I would also have a whole bunch of new appointments, so that, because you don't just lose the week, you lose 2 weeks after you come back from vacation to get the momentum up again. Well, that's what a business owner does, right? If you want to take time off, that's cool, but how can you still function, or how can your business still thrive? You can't just stop because you're not at the helm doing whatever it is you're doing. So I agree with that. And if more corporations or more people in corporate environment took on that ownership, you'd see, I think, a whole different change in perspective, but I think you'd see a change in results as well. So it's really an interesting take and a different way of looking at it. Interesting. Very interesting. So how did you get into merchant services of all things? I get it from the financial background, but how?
It's kind of crazy. I'll skip forward a little bit. I met my husband, and I was on vacation in California, staying with some friends. And long story short, I was living in Colorado at the time, and so I always wanted to live in California. And I had moved to Colorado. I met the man that I worked for in Colorado through the man I worked for in Dallas.
Oh, neat.
They knew that I was moving to Colorado, and they needed somebody to come in and organize their office and take over their accounting and everything. So I went, okay, so now I'm an oil and gas accountant. I went to training to become an oil and gas accountant, and I took over their, took all that work for them for several years. And they knew I always wanted to live in California, and I had friends there and stuff. So I went out there on vacation and I met Jim. And long story short, I ended up moving to California. They let me take my job with me. They actually figured out a way for me to run their accounting system remotely from California, which was all brand new in 1999.
Yeah, ahead of their time.
Yeah, so they set up a virtual VPN for me, and it was crazy.
Cool.
So I did that, and I became, while I was out there, a friend of mine said, well, She told me that a friend of hers was a QuickBooks Pro advisor and said, you should, you know, maybe you should look into that, adding that to what you do, you know, and because it wasn't really full time working for them anymore. And so I went and I learned how to become a QuickBooks Pro advisor. And so I added that and then I started getting jobs, you know, training people how to use QuickBooks. And so Jim and I ended up getting married. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, we said we ended up creating he wanted to create websites. And he wanted to do e-commerce sites. So this is December of 1999. We had just gotten married. So like the dot-com boom, right? So he went out and he found different places to provide the merchant services for the e-commerce sites. Yeah. And so that he quickly realized he wasn't not a web designer. And that didn't take him too long to figure out. But in the meantime, he had created these relationships with the credit card processors and had told other people that that's what we were doing. And we ended up moving to Las Vegas. And Vegas was booming then. It was 2000, you know, it was really booming. It was a great place to start our business. And so we created Anderson Business Solutions. So I was doing QuickBooks Pro advising. We outsourced the web design. We were doing business telephone systems and credit card processing. So we did that for a couple of years as agents for other credit card processors. And then that started growing because it's residual income, which is a beautiful thing. Yeah. And so we started going, oh, well, now we've got enough. There's a car payment. There's a house payment, you know, and it just started growing to the point where we're like, well, let's start carving out this other time for money stuff that we're doing and focus on this. And so we created Electronic Commerce International in July of 2002. And that's when, we became what they call registered ISO. So we were no longer agents for other companies. We cut out the middleman and we're working directly and registered with Visa and MasterCard and what have you. So, you know, that's going along great. We became the merchant service provider for some of the community banks in Las Vegas.
Nice.
And that just grew our business astronomically and everything was going fabulously until 2009.
Yeah. And then everything, the house of cards came crumbling down, right?
So big time. Yeah. Big time. And the banks got taken over by big banks and yeah.
So that, you know, it's so interesting. Like, you know, your friends do the QuickBooks, do this, teach. I'm going to do web design. It's funny how the path unfolds where you least expect it, right? And where you least expect to be, Las Vegas booming, everything is meant to happen the way it happens, right? Mm-hmm. Now, another thing you started was, and I really want to share this because I'm always fascinated for philanthropic endeavors. And you started Credit Cares. So talk to me about what Credit Cares does, right?
Okay.
If you can.
Yeah, really quickly. What led me to do that was the crash and we lost like half our business overnight and I was just disheartened and I started, I don't want to say resenting my business, but you know what I mean? I just didn't love it anymore. Sure. It was soul sucking at that point.
Sure.
And I went, okay, but we have contracts with First Data. We have leases. We have employees. I can't just like walk away from this, right?
Of course.
So I went, for me to really get back into this, I have to find a way to love my business, right? And I'm like, how do I love my business? I bring my heart to my business. Well, what does my heart care about? My heart cares about other people. It cares about helping people. And the Foundation of Foster Empowerment, you kind of touched on that. That was, I wanted to create a nonprofit to help kids that were aging out of foster care. And so I'm like, okay, but that's going to take money. How do you raise money? And I'm like, how can I have my business support my dream?
Absolutely.
Right? So business, nonprofit, how do I make that work? And what I ended up doing was thinking about, well, there's probably a lot of other nonprofits that could, you know, could do this. So I ended up I was actually talking to a friend of ours and I was telling him about this idea of having our merchant services support nonprofits, where if the nonprofits brought us, you know, referred business to us, obviously they could create a residual donation stream.
Beautiful.
For as long as the people stayed with us. And then if we had a merchant that really had the heart for a certain nonprofit, they could say, you know what, I want 20% of whatever you make off my processing to benefit that nonprofit.
That's wonderful.
So So that's what Credit Cares does. And you know, and once you, like, you never know how things are going to turn out. I met with a lot of nonprofits. Yeah. Most of them, they love the idea, but they couldn't wrap their mind around how to implement it.
Yeah.
And in my mind, it was easy, but in their mind, it was complicated. And we did end up attracting some merchants that wanted to support nonprofits. And so that's kind of what it does more now is we had an animal hospital that we made donations to an animal shelter for. Oh. I've got a lady who owns a store, a party store for buying, you know, yeah, streamers and balloons, yeah, and stuff in LA. And so she wanted it to benefit her daughter's PTA for her school. So that's, we do that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just whatever they want it to benefit. And, you know, and that kind of, that gives me joy.
Yeah.
That helped make me love my business again.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so interesting that as soon as you shift from, I have to pay bills, right? My business has to support and pay bills, to, ugh, this is soul sucking. How can I make money to pay my bills, but create joy back in my life? And for you, it was this philanthropic, you know, foundation to foster empowerment and figure out ways to do that. You start feeling good again, right? Giving is very, very, fortifying. It's very energizing. It feels good because we're making a difference. The other thing, people are like, no, this is too complicated. And because you understand the back end of everything, you're like, yeah, it's not that complicated,
yeah,
right?
It's easy. Just refer business and I'll take care of them. It's easy.
It's so funny. It's just so funny how what you think is simple, somebody else might not think is so simple. But what a great way to take your knowledge, your expertise, bring love back into your business. And really it was this giving arm as a key component of that. I just love that story. I think it's amazing. So how important is the aspiration of you personally giving back? Like, is that the main thing that drives you? Where does that aspiration or that inspiration come from for you?
For me, that gives meaning to life. I mean, I have a nice life. I have a wonderful husband. I've got a beautiful home. But it's kind of like, for me to, I need to feel like I'm making a difference in the world. You know, and that's how I feel like I make a difference. I mean, some people make a difference by creating beautiful art. Mm-hmm. Not something I can do.
Yeah, I hear you.
Some people create a difference by creating beautiful music. You do not want to hear me sing.
Me either.
But, you know, so it's like, how can I bring this, you know, spreadsheet brain of mine, you know, the number crunching brain, and, you know, and help other people. And then I ended up, the whole Foundation of Foster Empowerment, I volunteered in a homeless shelter, and I found out that, I asked the man, like, you know, because there were some young people there. I'm like, how do they get here? And they're like, a lot of them age out of foster care. And they turn 18, and it's like, happy birthday, you're homeless. I went out and sat in my car and just bawled for like 30 minutes. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, God, why are you putting this in my head? Why are you making me think about this?
Because you were supposed to do something.
Yeah, I felt like I was, and I tried, and that's between the Credit Cares thing and that, I learned how really super complicated it is to really have a nonprofit. There were people who told me, oh, it's easy. You know, you just get your 501c3, and it's not easy. It's very complicated. Bless anybody who's listening to this who's in the nonprofit world. It's very challenging. And people loved my ideas. They loved what I wanted to do for the kids and everything else. But they're like, oh, that's great. Let me know when you get that going. And I've got kids for you. I'm like, but I never got help from the other side. I never got anybody else going, how can I help you with that?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And I ended up letting it go physically. I mean, and you know, it's still in my heart. I think about it, but we'll see. But I eventually just had to kind of go, you know what? Maybe it's not for me to do.
Right. So. But you found other ways, right, to empower other organizations and have business owners support it, which is wonderful. So you're right. You know, things are very complicated. Everybody wants to pass the buck and say, okay, handle it. And just sometimes it's too much to do. So you found the piece that you can do and created, you know, the foundation to foster empowerment, right? So
I created that, but that's what I had to let go. But I kept still the Credit Cares division of ECI,
right?
And I did, and I became a CASA, so I was a court appointed special advocate for kids in foster care, and that gave me a much more in depth experience with the whole foster care community and a much deeper understanding. So, I'm finding ways to serve that community,
in other ways
where I can.
Yeah, absolutely. We can only do what we can do, and sometimes you want to do more, and it's not physically, mentally, emotionally, financially possible. But that doesn't mean you can find a way that you can contribute, and that you're really good at doing that, which I think is awesome. So I love the journey, right? I love that journey through corporate, from team player to corporate, to no team players here, to I need to be an entrepreneur, right, to support those entrepreneurs, to I'm going to become an entrepreneur, and then how can I leverage that and give back? So it's just your arc of the story is beautiful. And I think that you ended up taking business and a thriving business and giving back in such a generous way, and it's kind of part of who you are. I just feel like we need to keep hearing those stories, because I know it's about the money, because we all have bills to pay. I totally get that. But it's not about the money doesn't make you happy. It's what you do with the money that makes you happy. And I tease my husband. I go, I want to make millions of dollars. Not because, and he laughs. He goes, what would you do with it? And I go, I'd start a foundation for kids, like you were saying, right? Yeah. To help kids, maybe from foster for education, maybe give them scholarships. I don't know, right? Because I haven't delved into that, because I don't have millions of dollars, by the way.
Sales. That would be, to get these kids coming out with no direction. I mean, because everything is sales, as you know.
You're right. You have to sell yourself on an interview.
Even getting their first job or getting anything, it's like, if there's any way that you can when you're sales coaching, maybe somehow gift some to some kids in that situation, that would be awesome.
Absolutely. So you brainstorm with people and you can come up with ideas. But I feel like the more you have, for me, the more I would give, because or the more I give, because I feel, my goodness, like you said, I have this beautiful house, this great husband, this great family. I feel the same way. I'm so blessed. How do you not feel compelled to give forward, to pay it forward? And, it's a wiring. And for me, I want my businesses to be successful so that I can, like you said, help other youth, et cetera. And it's funny you're saying that, because so many kids are graduating and I have friends and they're like, they can't even get an interview, or they get the phone interview, but they don't get the personal interview. Can you look at their resume? And who do you know? And, I love connecting these kids coming out of school with potential jobs, or even just help them with their interviewing skills. They don't know what they don't know, and you don't want to listen to your parent. I get it. I'm probably saying exactly what their parents are saying, but they're listening to me. So my kids are the same thing. They talk to somebody else and they're like, yep, you're right. My mother's an idiot. Even though I said the same exact thing. So for me, it's always about kids. So isn't that funny that you just happened to mention that? So I love it. We are out of time, Heidi, but I do want to share your stuff. So guys, if you're interested and you want to speak with Heidi directly, please email her at H Anderson for Heidi. So H Anderson at ECISecurePay.com, and go to our website if you'd like more information. It's obviously www.ECISecurePay.com. I will post it on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change website, so you don't have to find it. And also go to my website, whitmanassos.com/CSA, and take your free communication style assessment. You get a cool report, short little report, tells you about your superpowers, tells you about your blind spots. And oh, by the way, it might help you communicate more clearly, both on the personal side as well as the professional side. I love helping people grow skills that are going to help them in all areas of their life, even obviously professionally, but even on the personal side. So go to whitmanassos.com/CSA. It's free, so take it and you get that cool report. Heidi, thank you again for being on. I really appreciate your story. And I think that there's so many people out there, especially with COVID, businesses are being lost, positions are being lost. Do you have that idea? Do you have that innovation that maybe the world needs, or a story, or a business, or a skill that you can help others develop? Maybe you're the next entrepreneur, waiting to kind of explode, right, and be birthed. So I hope your story helped people understand what that arc looks like. And I also hope that they realize, after listening to your story, Heidi, that every step, you were like, I learned something new. The next one, I learned something new. But not only did you shifted industries, additionally, you took those skills, used them in the next job and learned more. And then use them in the next job and learn more. So we're always about those building blocks of learning and building our credentials so that we could go out and hopefully someday start your own business if that's your thing. And the other thing, Heidi, I wanted to ask you, are you seeing that more and more people, they still have their full-time job, whatever that is, and then they have these side hustles on the side? Are you seeing, seeing that more and more, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and right now everybody's, you just got to do what you got to do, right? But you might learn something from that little side hustle that you can, that will give you an idea of either for your job or for what you can create. So just pay attention to what makes your heart happy.
Yeah. It's true. And when you listen to that, you find the right path, right? Or I should say the path seems to unfold in front of you. It probably was always there. We're just blinded by life. And then as soon as you have a happy heart, right, or you think, what will make me happy? The options start to find you. It's really fascinating because it happens, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Putting together a puzzle.
Yeah. The puzzle pieces of our lives, right?
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on, sharing your
thank
story.
Thank you, Connie.
Yeah. And I hope you've inspired. Yeah. I hope you inspired some new entrepreneurs, but I also hope you inspired perhaps translating pieces like you did that a component of the business can turn to some, you know, type of philanthropic adventure. So thank you so much for sharing that as well. You guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change happens, man. It's out there. It's happening every day. And I hope my guests, the tools that we provide, the information and insight and content, help you navigate just a little bit easier so that whatever that next step is for you becomes clearer, easier, and really fulfills your life the way my guests and I feel our lives are fulfilled. And I hope we share that with you. Heidi, thank you again for being on. Just a wonderful story, wonderful guests. So appreciated. You guys, thank you so much for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week. And please stay safe, stay healthy, and be well. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.